Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
That's the one thing, is you can look at his game, and obviously there's things that we need to get better at, and there's execution and consistency and some things. But in the course of the last 2 years, in my opinion, his two-minute drives before half and obviously end of game, and you can go to the Chargers game for that matter, right, in which in two-minute drives, it seems like he likes and thrives to be in those environments. So when you look at a quarterback in general, in my opinion, at this level, that's the one trait you don't know until he's in those situations, because college really doesn't prepare you for a real live two-minute NFL drive, is how is he going to be?
Middays on the Score.
That's Bears quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone, a guy we found out with some Tribune reporting today that he actually kind of maybe wanted somebody else.
Maybe, just a little.
Trubisky, that both
Watson
and
fellow.
John Fox were more enamored with Deshaun Watson. But here to talk Bears is Kevin Fishbane. He's on Twitter at KFishbane. He joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Kevin, yesterday, Eddie Jackson has he actually said the words, "It's us against the world." We've gotten to this point in the Bears season where they're playing that last emergency card of they have to prove everybody wrong. Is that going to work?
I mean, not a whole lot has worked up to this point. And I don't know if Eddie was watching the Monday Night Football game last night. The Bears were listed in the NFC playoff picture logo for in the hunt. So, you know, they're right there, according to, you know, the NFL's partner network wanting to make sure that people watch Bears-Rams on Sunday. We've kind of been teetering on this, talking to the guys. You know, they've talked about, you know, keeping things inside and not paying attention to the outside. So, yeah, now they're at the point where, you know, everyone still rules them out for the playoffs. No one was really that excited that they beat the Lions. So if that's the motivation it takes for them to try to get on a roll and try to get themselves actually back in the picture, you know, might as well give it a whirl.
So Dan was doing this all yesterday, and I actually it led to me doing it last night. Of course they're out of it, but if they beat the Rams, then they get the Giants, then they're sitting there a game above 500, and you never know what happens the rest of this season. That's wrong, right? I'm wrong for doing that?
It depends how you feel about, like, yourself and masochism and what you want to, you know, how you want to spend the next
well,
2 months.
Kevin, 12 years Catholic school, so a lot of masochism here.
Right. Well, you know, 25 years a Northwestern fan here, so I know a lot about what that's like. Yeah. So I'll say this. If they beat the Rams, I think you can start having some more meaningful conversations about what this season could mean moving forward. You know, when they beat the Lions, my reaction was a shrug. You know, yet Mitch made some great throws. He also had a terrible first quarter. And the offense was still a mess. And the defense was still on the field too long. If they go to LA and beat a Rams team that's not as good as they were last year, I'll say, okay, you've piqued my interest a little bit, that I am not as focused on, okay, what does this team do to get ready for 2020? I can be like, all right, well, let's see how you continue to work through this, because so much now is the quarterback in terms of what you need to do in the offseason for that position. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Trubisky is suddenly going to have an incredible end of the season and they're going to feel so good about him as the future and everyone's going to be excited even if they don't make the playoffs. But there are certain things that can go on in the next few weeks that make you think, okay, maybe you don't need a complete overhaul of this, of what's gone wrong this offseason. So if they beat the Rams, I think the conversation shifts. But I'm not ready to start thinking, okay, that, you know, playing hypotheticals, because if you want to get there, the December schedule is pretty brutal.
I'm interested to watch how they emerge from the week, having handled the victory understandably guardedly, that they weren't really puffy chested after the game. Yeah, we got to win. A win's a win. We're back on track, and given chances to declare that they were sort of back out ahead of it, they demurred. But do you think by the end of the week, because of the way Nagy likes to push the buttons of positivity and play and find the good, you know, Ryan Pace talking about only the good things that happened with Mitchell Trubisky, that by the time they're kicked off on Sunday night, they kind of think they're good again?
It's possible, Dan. And, you know, one of the things that Nagy talked about last week, which is another tool they could use this week, is they kept going back to that game against the Lions last year. And, you know, I don't know if that kind of helped Mitch in making some of the, having the confidence to make some of those throws against the Lions man defense, which is a similar situation to which he had last year in one of his best games. But you look at this Rams team, you say, hey, they came here and we shut them down like nobody did until the Super Bowl. You know, they can play that now. They certainly can't play that game with the offense because the offense was a mess in that game last December. But with a defense that might need a little bit of a confidence boost, especially when they're going to be missing two of their best players in the front seven, you know, he could go to that again. And he could say, hey, you know, look what we did against these guys last year. They're not having as good of a year this year. You know, they went to Pittsburgh and were awful. You know, Jared Goff hasn't been that great. The running game there is not working out very well. Their offensive line is totally banged up. There are some opportunities there. So it is possible that by the end of the week, when you get to Sunday, they can feel good again because, you know, there is something about this defense, the way that they play on prime time. And they were phenomenal in the season opener. It's forgotten about because of how bad the offense was. They were really good on primetime last year. Is that what Khalil Mack, for example, needs to kind of get off his schneid a little bit and start making the plays that we're all used to seeing him make?
What's the – looking long-term a little bit, how does Danny Trevathan and Nick Kwiatkowski, how do they affect each other here in the next handful of weeks? What are the long-term possibilities for Danny Trevathan remaining a Chicago Bear since he is an unrestricted free agent?
So, Connor, I looked into this actually back in May and June, and it's very rare for an inside linebacker at Danny Trevathan's age to get a lot of money and to get a long-term contract. They went through a bunch of different years, and mostly they were 2 or 3 year deals.
This is for both 4-3 and 3-4 inside backers?
Yeah. Okay. So it was just kind of using Spotrac, the contract, you know, website, just kind of looking at different, you know, middle linebacker in a 4-3, inside in a 3-4. And it can be tough when you know he's going to be 30 in March. So he was already looking at if he was going to return. And I actually used it as a positive for if the Bears wanted him back, it might not cost them a ton of money. Now, a lot of those guys also, I will say, were not playing at the level that Trevathan's been playing at until he got hurt. I mean, I thought he was very good last year and overshadowed by a bunch of Pro Bowlers. And he was one of the better players this year until he got hurt. When it comes to Nick Kwiatkowski, here's my thing about Quit. I think he is the perfect number three inside linebacker who you can I told you guys this. I thought they should have rotated him in London when it was clear Roquan Smith was not himself.
Right.
I thought they missed an opportunity there. I thought the same thing the next week against the Saints or the next game against the Saints. But I don't know if you saw this. Fourth down, huge play for the Lions. They took him off the field and put in Joel Igbuneye, who had not played a snap of meaningful defense the entire season, for a fourth down play. And that, to me, speaks to the fact that Iggy has got some more speed, and we know that's Kwiatkowski's kind of limitation. So a long, rambling way to say, I think there is a way, and I thought this before the injury, and the injury certainly changes things based on the rehab, that you could bring both of them back and find a way to do it under the cap and have it to be short-term deals and move forward. I'm very curious to see what Kwiatkowski does over the next few weeks. Inside Hallis Hall, there's not a non-starter that the coaching staff and personnel staff appreciate more than him. But I want to see if he can actually play like a full-time starting inside linebacker all year and give them kind of that thought of, well, maybe we could just keep him because he would maybe even be cheaper than Danny Trevathan.
Well, Sean McVay's going to test it. There is no question in my mind that he is not going to get to the end of this game without making Kwiatkowski do some things that he may not want to do or may not be great at. Because this is not somebody who's going to overlook that.
No, there's not, Dan. And in the Minnesota game, I don't know exactly how many snaps there were, but Kevin Pierre-Lewis was on the field for their third down when it was a clear passing play for Minnesota and Kwiatkowski came off the field. So that was one of the adjustments that Chuck Pagano made. Now, one of the things that Chuck's going to have to sort through is we've seen this three down lineman, one inside linebacker formation they've been going to on third down where Roquan Smith has come off the field. And it's a formation that I've really struggled to grasp as to why you're taking Roquan Smith off the field. Mm-hmm. Now, are you still going to do that? And are you comfortable making Roquan Smith be the one inside linebacker on the field? Or do you start using EA Bouniway? Do you start using Pierre Lewis? Some of these inside linebackers that are known for special teams but just have better wheels than Kwiatkowski. So, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a chess match because you're right. They're going to throw running backs and tight ends at him in the pass game and force him to make some of those plays.
Is Adam Shaheen staring into the abyss right now? I mean, what is left for that guy?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if anybody would want him. Talking about next offseason, if you can trade him in the last year of his rookie deal for, you know, a seventh round pick or something. I mean, it's sad what it's come to, but the guy hasn't shown you anything on the field in the regular season. And this was the year that they talked him up. You know, they talked him up in the spring. I remember at the owners' meetings, Matt Nagy had a lot of nice things to say about him. They were really excited about the way he looked in OTAs and minicamp. And I'll tell you guys, I was here. He did. I mean, you were like, oh, wow, is this finally the guy? Then he gets to training camp. He gets hurt again. And then he continues to struggle with what they want out of him in run blocking. And you can read between the lines of what the head coach is saying, what the tight ends coach was telling us yesterday, that there is some that he is just not giving them what they want on the practice field. And when he does, it doesn't translate to games. So that might be, I look at that now. Once you're inactive, you know, I know they say it's week to week, but it's hard not to look at them and be like, they're just done. You know, if you can't find a spot for a second round pick and you're 46, my thinking is you're getting set to move on. And we've already talked about all year that tight end has to be an extremely high priority for them, both in free agency and in the draft.
I wonder at one point, we talked to Pat Manley about this yesterday. You got Jesper Horsted and Dax Raymond sitting there on the practice squad. They might get antsy perhaps about getting a look-see at somebody in the active roster before the season's over.
Yeah, I think so. I think especially if you're going to go ahead and deactivate Shaheen, you might as well bring one of those guys up and give them a spin and see what they can do. You know, it's rare to have two tight ends on your practice squad, so that they obviously think highly of both of them to a point, to a practice squad level. And the one thing back to Shaheen too, guys, you know, Shaheen has always been his best in the red zone and near the goal line. And, you know, part of me was kind of thinking earlier in the season, well, the offense isn't getting there, so how could you even tell what he can bring you? Then two separate times in that Chargers game, he has opportunities. There was the one play where Mitch had to roll left, and Shaheen's moving right to left, and it was a throw that just kind of went through his hands. And it would have been a nice catch, but you looked at his hands, and you're like, why were you trying to catch the ball that way? And then there was the very strange way the coach was talking about the slant that probably should have been a fade from Shaheen, that the ball got bad down the line. And I look at those two plays, you look at the missed block in Philadelphia, obviously the fumble on the kickoff return, you put it all together and you think, well, almost why did it take so long for them to make this kind of move?
Kevin, thank you, man. Thanks, we appreciate Kevin. It.
Take care, guys.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.